This is Christian Questions.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose, with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
Glad to meet you. And we're glad that you have chosen to spend some time with us on this fine Sunday morning. And Jonathan, what is the topic for today?
Well, Rick, our question is your time running out? And our theme text is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil."
We don't usually use language like that. Walk circumspectly. We'll get into that as we go. But anyway, Jonathan, the point is here, we never seem to have enough time to do the important things, that is. As Christians, what should we be doing with our time? Or what shouldn't we be doing with our time? Is leisure time bad? Is TV bad? Email, texting, tweeting, checking the sports scores on your phone, listening to our favorite music, good? Bad? Does it matter? Did the apostles' lives provide examples for time management? Is our time really that important? Folks, stay with us this morning as we look, as we journey through the challenges of managing one of those things that we have a say over and yet rarely speak up about, and that is our time.
You're right. Who talks about this?
Right. And the thing is that we do have choices about how we spend our time. And so what do we do with those choices? Because, you know, if you don't make a choice, the choice will be made for you.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. And, folks, let me just give you a big clue right now. The fact that you're listening is a good choice for how you're spending your time on this particular Sunday morning. Just want to let you know you're in the right place at the right time. So I'm all excited about this. This is actually a great, great subject because it's something that almost by force, I've had to learn a lot about in terms of managing time to make sure everything gets done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we'll sort of expand that little bit of a story as we go through. So first, Jonathan, our beginning point is, how important is your time? All right. So how important is your time? And to get started, I want to just do a throwback. This is 2012, 62 years ago. And way back then, 62, now that's before my time, so I might be old, but I'm not quite that old.
Mine too.
All right. And we know it's before Fred's time. He's just a kid. It's funny when you talk about somebody in their 40s as a kid, you go, wait a minute. But anyway, back then, they had these instructional videos for young people.
Mm-hmm.
Videos. They were movies. Yeah, classroom type things, and they were, you know, teaching young people how to grow up and be respectable and honorable adults and all of that. And in these movies, the narrator would often talk to the people who are acting in the movie to make the point. And this particular movie from 1950 is a Coronet instructional film entitled Better Use of Leisure Time. So you got to put your mind back to 1950 to the way things would have been. We're just going to touch on this because I think it helps to kick off what we want to talk about this morning. Okay, maybe we won't do that yet. All right, Fred, once you get that thing working, just let me know and we'll come back to it. So, you know, we're asking the question, Jonathan, how important is your time? Maybe the better question is, how clear and important is your vision?
Because you need a vision first to know how to spend your time.
Otherwise, your time is just going to get wasted. You know, and that's one of the problems is we can be in a situation where if we don't have a big enough vision about how to spend our time. Now, look, most of us have to go to work and you have to sleep. So that takes away big chunks of your time. But what do you do with the time in between? And that's why a vision is important. So what is a vision? Let's define, what's a vision?
All right. The all-encompassing picture that captures the imagination.
All right. So it's this big picture that captures your imagination. So
it's different for everyone, right?
And that's exactly what I was going to say. The first thing is that our vision can be different. My vision is probably a little bit different than yours. They're probably right along the same lines, but there's certain things that capture my imagination that make me do things.
Gotcha.
And for you, it might be just a slightly different perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, our vision obviously is built around Christ, and we'll get to that.
Yes.
Okay, Fredo, are we good on that? Okay, let's try to go to Coronet Instructional Film on better use of leisure time. Okay, not yet. All right. Well,
did you ever stop to think how much leisure time you really have? Some of us put our leisure time to good use. And some of us, Ken Michaels, for example, spend most of our leisure time just moping.
Moping? He thinks I'm moping. Well, who wouldn't mope? There's nothing to do. Nobody's around. You know how it is. I went down to the bowling alley. Went over to the drugstore. None of the gang was there. All my friends are busy. So what's for me to do?
Mope.
That sounds 1950-ish.
It does. It was really cool to watch it. Somebody had sent it to me in preparing for the program. And the point was, there was a change. Generationally, things were changing over the last 100, 150 years. It used to be the average man would work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Wow, what a schedule.
And then several years later, it got down to 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. You know, so you're still looking at a 60-hour week.
Yeah.
And that's reduced. And then at the time of this 1950, this Coronet instructional film, and we'll come back to this in the second hour, it got down to about a 40-hour work week. And so with a 40-hour work week, now you suddenly have leisure time.
Because now it's 5 days a week.
Right. So what do you do with that time? So we're looking at vision, and boy, folks, have we got a story for you about just perspective on life that you're just going to love it. So stay with us. It's coming up soon. So, Jonathan, you mentioned that vision is the all-encompassing picture that captures the imagination.
Yes.
So, there are secrets for redeeming the time, for buying back, for making sure we use our time well. And I think one of the secrets is the first commandment.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
All right, and that's from Exodus chapter 20, the commandments in verses 1 to 17. But that is one of the secrets for our vision. If you have God first, that makes things a lot simpler because you've got a clear focus point. Folks, we're talking about, is your time running out? How do you spend your time? What are the things that you do to help yourself make sure you make good use of your time? We'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Go to ChristianQuestions.net.
So, we're looking at use of our time. How important is your time? And we just mentioned the first commandment, having no other gods before me, and it reminds me of James 1:8.
A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
So, a double-minded man means you don't have a single focus in your life.
It's being wishy-washy.
Yes, it is. In such a state, you're not stable because you don't know what you're going to depend on. Matthew 6:24 is another really good example of following up on that James scripture.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Now, that's not to say that you go to your boss and say, okay, I quit because I can't serve God and the world around me. It's to say that we serve God through our diligence at whatever it is our work is.
So you're telling us then that there's going to be a balance here in how we use our vision.
Well, there's a balance, and it's also kind of like a compass.
You know, okay.
The compass always points to north.
Yes.
Well, what is your true north? If the Almighty God is your true north, that's a really good place to start in terms of figuring out how to manage your time. We're going to look at, you know, you mentioned that the theme scripture was Ephesians 5, 15, and 16.
Yes.
And we're going to look at the context of that throughout the whole program. So let's start with Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma.
So there you have it, Jonathan.
What?
Be imitators of God.
We're supposed to imitate God.
Yeah.
God Almighty.
Yeah.
The creator of all things.
Yeah.
The one that always was.
Good luck.
Whoa.
Right. You look at that and you say, wait a minute, how is that even feasible? What are you talking about? Be imitators of God. Come on, grow up. You know, we can't do that.
How did we do that?
Well, and that's hard. It's certainly hard, and it's an awful lofty vision.
Yeah.
For life. Well, a good follow-up scripture on that would be Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36.
But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
So does that help in terms of looking at this and saying, okay, how do you imitate God?
It gives us a description of how God is, so we need to be like him.
Okay, so
be merciful, be kind, even to the ungrateful. Whew, that's hard.
Well, it is. And again, we're talking about, is our time running out? How important is our personal time? How do we spend it? And the first point that we're making is you have to have a vision that's so much bigger than you. And I mean, for me, my vision is the gospel of Jesus. The fact that Jesus Christ died as a ransom for every man, woman, and child who ever lived. And that ransom will produce a good end result that all men will be able to benefit from. See, to me, that gets me up. That gets me going. That's my big vision. Okay? I'll ask you about yours as we move forward here a little bit. I want to get to this next soundbite kind of quickly here, though, because it's important. It's going to begin to unfold a story. Now, we're going to tell you a story through these coming soundbites that we hope will illustrate the importance of living productively. We're not going to mention the background and the source just yet, but we will introduce you to a pilot, an airline pilot named Steve Scheibner. Okay, so this is just, we're going to drop in on Steve Scheibner here for just a little bit.
20 years ago, I wrote a life objective. And my life objective goes like this. It's to seek, trust, and glorify God through humble service and continual prayer, to raise up qualified disciples as quickly as possible, so that someday I might hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
So there's a man who's telling you that he has had this vision, this mission for his life for the last 20 years. Okay, well, what does that mean? We'll find out more about Steve Scheibner as we go through the program here. But it certainly reminds me of Proverbs 29:18.
It really does. That reads, "Where there is no vision, the people perish."
So Mr. Scheibner gave us a really good example of a very Christian-oriented vision. He's an airplane pilot, and he gave us this picture of what it's supposed to look like. Just read just a few words, Jonathan, from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. We're going to come back to this later.
Write the vision, make it plain on tables.
So even in the Old Testament, having a vision and having it written was of great importance. So if we're going to look at how do we redeem the time, in other words, how do we sort of buy back the time that is just being spent in our lives, the first big step, the first big important thing is having a vision that excites and captures your personal imagination.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is your time running out. Now that we have our vision, what about priorities to accomplish our goal? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is your time running out. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Is your time running out? We're talking about looking at how we spend our time. And there's a point, Jonathan, later on in the program I'm going to make, but I want to make it now. We can either spend our time or we can invest our time. There's a big difference between the two. When you spend something, the whatever it is you spent is spent. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
When you invest something, there is a return for that investment.
Oh, I like that picture.
So are we spending our time or are we investing our time? And as Christians, we better be really, really sure about which side of the answer we fall on there and why. And that's why vision was such an important thing at the very beginning. And, you know, I had mentioned a little bit about my own personal vision of the gospel and the plan for of the ransom for all mankind being literally a driving force. And for me, my vision is real simple. It's two words. It's to honor God. And I try to put that in the middle of everything that I do and say, and I think I fail miserably, I might add, but that's what I always try. That's my true north. That's what I always try to come back to. How about for you?
Well, when God answered my prayer, when I hit bottom in my life, I asked him for direction and he came through for me and basically showed me the truth of his plan for all mankind. And when I learned that, I had such relief and such peace that I said, the least I can do is give my life to the Lord. So because he came through for me, I want to give my little all, which is really nothing, back to him for all that he did to pick me up.
And that ends up being a lifetime experience.
Absolutely.
All right. So, and we're going to be developing this as we go much further. So is having a clear vision enough to keep us on track? No, it really isn't. Our vision is the big panoramic picture of our passion and our purpose. Somebody once said, though, that the devil is in the details.
Oh.
Well, think about it. So if our vision is like the compass that gets us focused in the right direction, then our priorities, which will be our next subject, are what help us to determine which roads to take to get us to our true north. So it's great to have the big vision.
It is.
But you have to have the priorities along the way.
Good point. Well, Rick, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net. There are many archived programs on a variety of subjects. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. Also at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is the summary version. That includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. It's a free download. Now, the second is the one you really want. That's the full edition. Now, that's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, plus all the bonus material presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. That's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind, you heard the program, now see it as well.
I'll tell you, CQ Rewind is such a great tool, and more people sign up for it every week. And it's a thrill to see that. Again, it's a free service. It's exclusively available at ChristianQuestions.net. And it just ties together the things that we attempt to talk about on Sunday mornings.
And Rick, there's six pieces of the puzzle to this subject, and you'll only find that in the bonus material. They've got to go there.
That's right. And we're going to be dealing with the six pieces through the six segments of the program through the 2 hours. So again, if we're not on in your area for the second hour, go to ChristianQuestions.net, hit the Listen Live button, and finish the conversation with us. We would really love you to do that. So we're going to be looking at priorities. Let's go back to Steve Scheibner, the airplane pilot. Okay, all we know about him is that for 20 years, he had a very clear, specific mission for his life to serve God. Well, now let's fill in some of the details of his story.
I did what I normally do on September 10th, the day before I become available to go flying, and my flying is in blocks of days of availability. So I was available to go flying on September 11th. So at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on September 10th, I sat down at the computer and I logged in like I normally do and to check to see if there was any unassigned flying for the next day. And sure enough, there was one trip that was available on September 11th. It was American Airlines Flight 11 out of Boston's Logan Airport to Los Angeles. And I looked at it, and there was no pilot assigned to it yet. So the next thing what I do is I go and check and see if there's any reserve pilots available. Now, I know I'm available, but there might be some other guys available. And it just so happened on September 11th, 2001, there was only one guy available to go flying on that day, and that was me.
So, now we're starting to fill in the story, and I don't know about you, but I'm hearing him talk about it. I'm already getting goosebumps.
Yes.
Because you're hearing him saying, okay, I'm a pilot, I fly for American, Flight 11. Whenever you say that, people think of September 11th.
You got it.
Because Flight 11 was the first flight to crash into the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, here he is, available, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to take this flight. I'm going to fly this airplane. Now, obviously, he didn't. Because he's talking about it. But it's interesting, how did that happen? We're going to develop that story as we go. And it's really, we're focusing on him because this man had great priorities for his life. You know, it was to serve God first. So let's get back to the priorities. We talked about vision in the first segment. Now it's priorities. Priorities are the necessary ordering of the details of our life. You can have a big vision, but if you don't put priorities in place, the vision is useless.
Okay, so for the simple start, God first, family second, kind of work third.
Yeah, well, and you
that's
know,
that's a simplistic way
right,
to look at it.
But I think that actually puts things in a good discussion place. The secret for redeeming time in terms of priorities is always do the most important thing at any given moment. Now, what might the most important thing be at certain moments? It varies.
It does
by the context
and the Lord's providential overrulings in our lives. Zingers can come in when you're not expecting them.
So watch out for the zingers. You heard it from Jonathan. Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about how do you manage to invest your time wisely. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.net, no matter the day or time.
Okay, let's look at some of the most important things at any given moment. Let's look at a few scriptures in Ephesians first. Ephesians 5:25.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
So there you have it. Pretty simple, right?
Yeah, so we just please our wives and we're okay.
We're okay. Okay, well, let's read Ephesians 6:4.
Oh. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
So it's not enough to just love your wife and take care of your wife, but here it's talking about bringing up your children.
Yeah, and have daily Bible studies with your kids, and you're good.
and see, that's all there is to it.
That's all you need to do.
That's all you need to do. Well, actually, wait a minute. Let's look at 1 Timothy 5:8, because that's not quite all you need to do.
But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Okay, so now all you need to do...
work hard and be focused and provide the best you can.
Right. So that's all you need to do.
That's it.
That's it. No
Nothing
more.
Else.
No, well, wait. Actually, there's more. Actually, Galatians 6:10.
So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
So, if you've noticed, Jonathan, things have started out very focused and become very broad.
Yes.
You start out with your spouse if you're married, and then you go to your children if you have them, and now you have to provide, and now you have to do good to everyone.
To everyone.
So,
who has time for anything else?
Well, and see, that's the point. If we have clear priorities, which is the necessary ordering of the details of our lives, then we can manage all of these things. And what we said before about always doing the most important thing in any given moment really, really comes down to, okay, what is the situation that you are presently in, and what are you supposed to be doing? If you're at work, here's a hint. You're supposed to be working.
And do it well?
You're supposed to be working and do it well as unto the Lord.
Ah.
If you're at home, look, and here I go. I'm going to talk about my grandson because it's one of my favorite subjects of all time. When I'm with Dominic, 4.5 years old, he's got, you know, this fertile imagination, and everything is this big game. And when we're together and I'm spending time with him, the most important thing is to be part of his life.
And be really connected.
And to really focus on that. So for those minutes that we're together, that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Sounds to me, Rick, like there's got to be passion in everything you do.
Well, and again, if you have the big vision to honor God, for me, those two words, turn it on for me. That's how I honor God when I'm with my grandson. When I'm with my wife, it's different things. When I'm working, it's a different thing. When I'm out and about in public, it should be a different thing. But all of those things are the priorities by which you accomplish the big vision. And you have to be clear on investing your time into these things, not just spending it. So again, folks, if you have a thought, how is it that you invest your valuable time? 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions on our subject, ask your questions on ChristianQuestions.net or go to our Facebook or email us at rick@ChristianQuestions.net.
You can do it all kinds of different ways to communicate. We love to hear from you. Let's go back to Steve Scheibner, and this is actually from a book called In My Seat. Okay, that's the book's name, and it was a video that he did about his book and about his story and about what happened to him. So remember, he's an airplane pilot for American. He schedules himself to fly on September 11th, Flight 11, which we know crashed and burned. Let's listen to what happens to him.
What was taking place, I was unaware of, was the fact that a fellow by the name of Tom McGinnis, who was one of those line-holding pilots, a little bit senior to me, Tom was celebrating his birthday on September 10th with his wife and his children. And Tom did what I did that afternoon, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He went over to the computer, and he logged in, and he looked, and he saw that that flight was open, but my name had been penciled in. And he knew he was still in that 30-minute window of opportunity. So Tom called down to American Airlines and said, hey, you know, I just want to check with you. Am I legal to take this trip? In other words, can I bump Scheibner off that trip? And they did what they do with the computer down there, and they got back to him and said, yep, you're legal for that trip, but you got to give us a call back in the next, you know, 20 minutes.
So somebody else, Tom McGinnis, he was vying to take that trip. And so approximately at the same time, they both log into their computers to see, you know, because they're both interested in working that day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this is September 11th. We're talking about Flight 11. Neither of these men have any inkling whatsoever on September 10th, like the rest of us, as to what was going to happen.
That's right.
So this becomes a very dramatic story, and it becomes a very pointed event to show us the importance of really managing what we have in front of us in terms of time. So, Jonathan, as we go through that, we'll be coming back to Steve Scheibner throughout the program. If we're consumed by our priorities, we'll have no time for other things. Now, that's kind of an interesting statement because I just said...
That is interesting.
You have to make time for all these things. But let's look back to our theme scripture, Ephesians 5, 3 to 5, and then we'll get back to that thought.
But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be given named among you as a proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
So it's talking about you don't have time for immorality or impurity or greed. Those things shouldn't even be named among you. If you are a Christian, nobody should be looking at you from that standpoint even minutely.
Because there's so much to do for the Lord.
Right. And there's so much to be for the Lord. And it's interesting because our call screener, Trish, handed me a note. She said, okay, well, you talked about having to do all of these other things. But could these things, they could take you away from your vision as well.
That's a good point.
So there has to be some kind of a balancing, and we're actually going to develop that in the next segment because the next theme is that of urgency in terms of moving forward and how do you put it all in perspective. So it's an interesting question that you have to address, and we will get to that. Right now, Jonathan, our segment's almost up. Let's quick go to the phones.
Yes, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
We have Isaiah 49:8. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I answer you. On the day of salvation I help you. The Christian is free of regret for the past and fear of the future. As Jesus conquered death, so for us he conquers time. Daniel 7:13, one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven, when he reached the ancient one, he received dominion, glory, and kingship. The eternal present in God is real. Each moment, large or small, expands with God. Right now, we can write a prophecy for our life. Psalm 31:15-16, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands.
Randall, thanks so much. Right on target.
God bless you guys.
Thanks so much. And, you know, the point is, if we are in Christ, we should not have to regret the past. And it fits like with what you were saying about your own life. Mm-hmm. You said something very important. When you hit bottom, you looked for help, you found the help, and now you've dedicated yourself to that help.
Yes.
And you can look back, not with regret, I would imagine, but with thanks.
Absolutely.
Even though maybe hitting bottom wasn't the most comfortable thing you've ever done in your life?
No.
So there's goodness in terms of being able to look forward and to move forward, and establishing our daily priorities is very important. Putting everything together under the big heading of our vision in Christ, that's what's important. You got to have priorities.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is your time running out. How urgently should we be working at to redeem the time? Is it that important? Isn't believing enough? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is your time running out. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, in our discussion this morning, we talked about the big vision that each of us has to have.
Yes.
And for each of us, it's probably going to be a little bit different.
That's right.
It's whatever floats your boat. Mm-hmm. I mean, what really gets you going.
But then how do you make priorities to go along with your vision?
So you have to have the big vision, and the priorities is about the little things in
filling
life.
Filling it in.
Right, and filling it in appropriately according to that big vision. Now, the next point is urgency.
Urgency.
Okay, urgency. So is redeeming the time a take-your-time activity, or is it a panic-a-minute activity?
Well, if you panic a minute, you're not going to get much accomplished.
Well, right. And so that's one of the things that we have to really, really focus on here. And you know what? It's neither. It's not a take your time activity, and it's not a panic a minute. If we've truly established our priorities based on the big picture, there will naturally develop a deep sense of urgency, for nothing will be more important than following through on that which has proven to be most important.
Mm.
So that's the key, is making sure that we can follow through on those things that are most important. And that creates, by nature, a sense of urgency.
And Rick, urgency means the application of focused energy for a very specific purpose.
All right. Now, a very specific purpose is the idea that you have something is got to happen, something's got to move forward, and I got to do it. Look, when you have to go to the bathroom, Jonathan.
You got to go.
There's a sense of urgency, right?
Yes.
If you're driving down the highway and you have to go, what do? You find the rest stop and you go running in. There's a sense of urgency. There's that sense that I've got to accomplish this. So that's the important thing here. So the secret for redeeming the time in terms of that sense of urgency, let's jump to remember we started with the first commandment?
Yes, we did.
Let's go to the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Now, how is that a sense of urgency? Well, let's read that 10th commandment in from Exodus.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his man servant, nor his maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
So we cannot be thinking about and focusing on what our neighbor has that we might not have. Oh, they have a better TV than me. They have a better car than me. They have a better house than me. Because if we are focusing on those things, then we are going to be getting ourselves in trouble.
That's right.
And our urgency will be deflated because we're sidetracked with what our neighbor has.
Yeah, our focus is left the big focus,
right,
of our lives.
Exactly. We're not focusing on the big focus. So that, and it's such an important part of it, having that sense of urgency. Now, let's go back to Steve Scheibner from his book, In My Seat. Remember, he was an airplane pilot for American. He was due to fly Flight 11 on September 11th, 2001, and he got bumped. Another pilot at the last minute took his place. So now he's telling the story. We're going to drop in on what started to happen on Flight 11 to make the point of how important our time is.
We just jet blocks and we're up in the air. We're supposed to go to L.A. and the cockpit's not answering their phone.
Okay, but what seat are you sitting in? What's the number of your seat?
Okay, I'm in my jump seat right now.
Okay.
At 3R.
Okay, you're the flight attendant?
Our number one has been stabbed and our five has been stabbed.
Can anybody get up to the cockpit? Can anybody get up to the cockpit?
We can't even get into the cockpit. We don't know who's up there. Is anybody still there?
Yes, we're still here.
Okay. I'm staying on the line as well.
Okay.
What's going on, honey?
Okay, the aircraft is erratic again. It's flying very erratically.
Betty, talk to me. Betty, are you there? Betty?
And they don't ever communicate with them again. And again, this is the flight that Steve Scheibner was supposed to be flying. He got bumped, and he's because he wasn't on that airplane, obviously, he lives to tell his story. And it's a very tragic story in some ways, but it's also very inspirational with what he took from that experience of literally having his life saved. And there's one more soundbite we want to play this segment that'll tell us that part of the story. But again, this fits, Jonathan, in the context of urgency. We have to have an urgency to not just spend our time in wishful and envious thoughts, but really to go invest our time. And let's look at jump down to Proverbs 6:6-9, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its way and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, it prepares its food in summer and gathers its sustenance in harvest. How long will you lie there, O lazy bones? When will you rise from your sleep?
So it's a good scripture that really focuses on urgency, the idea that we have to invest our time in service to the Lord rather than just spend our time. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right, we have Keith from Tennessee. Good morning, Keith, and welcome to Christian Questions.
No more, and thanks to Jesus, death is dying, and I won't get into Revelation 9, 18, 10, 10, and 18, 4, but with respect to my own personal situation, I'm retired, and so staying focused is a chore. I got a little radio program, I don't have the listeners you have, it's just a local thing, but QED concludes proof God exists. And also, I want to mention the theory of time of Dr. Schroeder, because my pastor believes the world's only 6,000 years old, and we get into the discussions about this, because Dr. Schroeder believes the universe is expanding exponentially, and time is contracting exponentially. So that from God's perspective, the universe, the world's only 7 days old, but his first day for us lasted like 8 billion years, and then the second day, 4, and then 2, and 1. In other words, time will run out before it reaches 16 billion years of age. And, of course, the Bible indicates that time will be no more, so that there may be some basis for that. I don't know. But we have some interesting discussions.
So Keith, what you said at first, you know, staying focused is a chore because you're retired and you don't have that job to go to. So if just because we need to move on quickly here. So give me one core thought, just one thought about how it is that you manage your time to fight that difficulty of staying on track. Core thought.
Well, I try to develop a routine, but it's hard to maintain it. You know, I've gotten kind of lazy about it. You know, and when you're retired, it's easy to do that. Stay focused. I mean, you early in the program, you talked about staying focused, and that's the key.
All right. Keith,
God bless.
Thanks so much. We appreciate your call.
Take care.
So now see, he brings in a very important practical issue, okay? Somebody who's retired, you don't have some place that you have to go.
That's a new challenge in his life.
Right. So you have to develop that kind of routine that keeps you focused. But the key is the routine has to be important enough that it makes you work, makes you go to work, makes you do things. And that's why having that big vision is so important, and then setting your priorities, and then having an urgency about it. See, so this is sort of encapsulizing, if your time is running out, stop it from running out and use it.
Invest it.
Right. Invest it. Make good use of your time. Let's go back to folks. If you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And, Jonathan, one quick reminder about CQ Rewind. It is a free service. It's available exclusively at ChristianQuestions.net. One of the things that we go over in the bonus material in CQ Rewind this week is there's lots of self-help gurus out there that show you how to set your life in order.
Right.
They and you know, the steps that they put down on paper are very good, legitimate, clear-cut ways to get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
What most people don't know is those steps were laid out in the scriptures long before anybody else wrote them.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Seeker Rewind Full Edition bonus material lays it out according to some Old Testament scriptures. You'll be amazed. You'll want to subscribe because that's the only place you're going to find that information. Seeker Rewind, the full edition at ChristianQuestions.net. Let's go back to our theme text, Jonathan, Ephesians 5. And now we'll go back to verses 6 through 12.
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth.
See, now there's a sense of urgency. You know, don't be deceived by empty words. You are light. You have responsibility. And see, if your vision shows responsibility, it's not just something to look at.
Mm-hmm.
It's not entertainment. It's engagement. And, you know, at the beginning, at the end of the last segment, you know, as you were wrapping up, you said, isn't believing enough?
Yeah.
And look, a lot of Christians look at it and say, well, okay, I'm saved, so I'm good. Folks, stop. Because it's not just enough to say that you believe. See, there's a difference between acknowledgement and true belief. Acknowledging that Jesus Christ is our Savior, important. But that is only the beginning of belief. If you truly believe it, you live it. You do something about it, and you urgently act on that.
And Rick, I liked in this scripture where it says, walk as children of light. There's action there.
Yes.
And it's consistent, it's steady, it's moving forward.
Right.
It's not going backwards.
And now finish up the scripture.
Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret.
So it says you've got to urgently move forward with your time and your efforts. Let's go back quickly before we wrap up this hour to Steve Scheibner again. We now know what happened. He was scheduled to fly Flight 11, American Airlines, on September 11th, which was hijacked and everybody died on that aircraft. Here is his response to the fact that he was bumped off of that flight and he's living to tell about it.
What has stuck with me all these years is the fact that he did leave me behind, is that I need to act like I'm living on borrowed time, because I am. I can look and see my smoking hole, and it was on national TV, and I saw where I should have died, but I didn't. And now there's an obligation that comes with that. I've got to live my days with a sense of urgency. I have to make sure I get the most out of them, not the most for me. I think we live in a world where everybody's kind of out to get the most for them. This is not about me. This is about the distinct privilege I've been given to know that somebody died in my place.
Isn't that amazing?
That is.
And he in the second hour, we're going to continue with some of the sound bites from Steve Scheibner. So again, folks, if we're not on in your area for our second hour, go to ChristianQuestions.net, hit the Listen Live button, and stay with us for the conversation, because it just continues to develop further and further and further. But he said, I have now developed this incredible sense of urgency because I am on borrowed time. By rights, I should not be here. And there's something about that kind of an attitude that we can draw from and adopt in order to make sure that we are not just spending our time.
And he went back to that vision that he had 20 years ago, and he used that
right.
vision.
Right. He renewed it. He developed it.
Took action.
He made it bigger. And in the second hour, we're going to hear about how it really has consumed him more and more as time goes on. It doesn't get easier for him. It gets more intense for him because the borrowed, look, And aren't we all on borrowed time?
We are, Rick.
I mean, do we deserve life?
No.
No, but by God's grace, we have the ability to have life in Christ. What are you doing with that? That's the whole point. There's several scriptures here, Jonathan, we don't have time to read, but we're going to look at Habakkuk 2:2-4 and Philippians 3:12-16. Folks, listen. This is about making sure that our lives are invested in the vision of following after Christ. We don't have time to waste. You know, it's great to email, it's great to tweet, it's great to do all of that stuff, but all of those things are just simply tools that should be used sporadically in their place to accomplish the bigger vision. And if our life is not accomplishing the bigger vision, then we're off track. Stay on track. Stay with us as the conversation will continue in the next hour. ChristianQuestions.net. Hit the Listen Live button if we're not on in your area, because there's so much more to come. Is your time running out? For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back soon after the news. But till then, think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
Henry Wheeler Shaw once said, "The greatest thief in the world ever produced is procrastination, and he is still at large." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, our subject this morning is...
Is your time running out? And our theme text is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil."
So we've been talking in our first hour, we were talking about what it takes to redeem the time, to cash it in and receive the highest value for it. There are three things we talked about in the first hour.
That's right. The first, Rick, is a vision.
Okay, a vision that's big enough to capture your imagination and big enough to affect the masses. It's got to be a vision that about more than just you.
That's right. Because, and they're all different.
Right, right. And we want to have our vision focused on Christ, obviously, in a way that it moves you personally.
Our second point was priorities.
All right, priorities in our daily lives that reflect dedication to such a vision. And again, we have to prioritize. We have all kinds of things to do that aren't maybe directly in the service to God, but we have to do them anyway.
That's right. And then urgency.
Urgency is a third thing that we have to have. Urgency that is born out of the strength of the vision and the prominence of our priorities.
So those are the what's.
That's exactly it. Those are the what's. Now we're going to get into our conversation into the how. How do you do these things? How do you put these things all in perspective? We do, though, want to get to the phones right away because we have someone who's been hanging on through the break. We have, who is it?
It's Bill from Kentucky. Good morning, Bill, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I was calling, listening on traveling on the highway going through Kentucky, listening to your program, and you're talking about the pilot 9/11, and I wanted to ask you about if you know about this book, The Harbinger.
No, I don't.
But it puts 9/11 in a biblical perspective in reference to Isaiah 9:10, it just seemed to be a interesting perspective to hear what you're talking about time and prioritizing our time and so forth in light of these events.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because in light of events like that, I mean, let me ask you, Bill, just real quickly, what did that event change the way you prioritize your time?
Oh, absolutely. And mostly because I see it from a different perspective from just being a news event on TV,
mm-hmm.
You know, like most of the world just saw it as a news event. But with discovering this book, The Harbinger, and learning about a deeper perspective of these events, it's very, very compelling.
Interesting. All right, Bill, where are you from?
Cincinnati, on our way back to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Well, look, you can certainly get us at, if you go to ChristianQuestions.net, you can hit the Listen Live button and join in with us from Cincinnati. We'd love to have you do that.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to pull you up now online while we're driving.
Oh, there you go.
Careful. The second hour, because we lost your second hour in touch.
Well, pull over. Make sure you do it safely. All right, Bill, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good call, and it's just kind of fun that, you know, he happens to be driving through Kentucky there on his way back to Cincinnati. But again, Jonathan, it comes down to there are events that happen, not maybe in our lives, but around us, that can really affect us. And that can really raise our urgency because it vitalizes the vision. And if the vision is revitalized, and then we really work on our priorities and we raise our sense of urgency, that helps us to get there. Now, how do you do that? Well, one of the key points is inspiration. We need to, and inspiration is that which feeds and lifts the heart to be able to overcome. Everybody needs some kind of inspiration somewhere to keep them going.
That's right. You're right.
That's the human form.
We need it.
And I want to go back to, before we get back into the main discussion, back to the Coronet instructional film from 1950. I loved this thing, Jonathan. I would have loved to play a whole lot more, but we just won't have time for it. But this is a conclusion on this instructional film for young people. Again, it was made in 1950. That's when it was made, all right? And this is the conclusion on better use of leisure time.
A good use of leisure time should give you a change. It should help you learn things. And, well, I'm not sure about the third.
It's a good idea to have a long-range goal for your leisure time activities. But it isn't always easy to find a single occupation that will give you all three values.
Then you should have more than one activity?
It does help. Of course, even one thing to do is better than just moping. For instance, swimming is a pleasant change, a lot of fun, and a chance to build yourself up physically. And what about reading? There's a leisure time activity that will help you learn things you'd like to know about many subjects.
Okay. And you think about that, and they're saying, make sure your leisure time has a long-range goal. Now, Jonathan, there is no goal for our leisure time. It's just spending the time away.
That's right.
And unfortunately, as funny as it is to listen to that, there is great wisdom and value in it.
You're right.
And
you're right.
Well, I mean, we're going to sound as old-fashioned as old can be, but I'm listening to the message there saying, yeah, there's something to this. Make sure that your leisure time is not just being spent moping, as he put it, but it's got value.
Hey, good points were brought out also. How do we take care of our bodies as Christians? Do we let them go, or do we exercise and try to stay fit and in shape? I mean, there's time taken away to do that, right?
Right. There is. And look, I work out 3 or 4 times a week, and just because if I didn't, I'd be a little balloon. And you have to just keep things functioning, you know, and you know, a physical body for me makes my brain work a whole lot better. Anyway, folks, let us know what you think. We're talking about how do we manage our time. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, let's go back. Inspiration, again, that which feeds and lifts the heart to be able to overcome. Looking for inspiration, let's look at, let's focus on that which elevates your being to its highest end. And that's one of the secrets for redeeming the time. Focus on that which elevates your being to its highest end. Luke 12, 31 to 34.
But seek ye first his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Now, Jonathan, I'm sure that most folks are familiar with that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we don't generally think about is in that scripture, there are 6 points. They just happen to be the 6 points we're talking about this morning.
How about that?
How about that? And they're all mentioned in that scripture. It says, first, seek ye first. Well, that's urgency.
Yes, it
right?
is.
Seek ye first the kingdom. And the seeking, That's priorities.
Yes, it is.
That means you're after things. When it talks about seeking the kingdom,
that's the vision.
So already we have those first three points we talked about in the first hour in the first sentence: seek ye first his kingdom. It labels all three of those. And then it goes on. Do not be afraid, for the Father wants you to have it. What is that?
That's inspiration.
I mean, that's like a cool thing. I think about God.
Wow.
God wants you to have this?
Woo.
Man, what's better than this? And this is better than Oreo cookies and dark chocolate combined. I'm telling you, by a long shot. And then it says, sell your possessions and give. What's that?
That's perspiration. At least that's your word, perspiration.
That's our next segment. All right, and our last segment is going to be encapsulated in the part of the scripture that says, be dedicated to treasure that is unfailing.
And that's consistency.
So in this hour, we're looking at inspiration, perspiration, and consistency. And this is how to redeem the time, how to put our time in order. So again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
I want to go back again to Steve Scheibner from his book, In My Seat. He did a video explaining his circumstance. We played part of this in the first hour. It was his mission statement, his 20-year-old mission statement. And now we're going to play the mission statement again because it's so appropriate, but it has a tang on the end of what he's doing with that mission statement. Okay, let's go.
20 years ago, I wrote a life objective. And my life objective goes like this. It's to seek, trust, and glorify God through humble service and continual prayer, to raise up qualified disciples as quickly as possible, so that someday I might hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The events of September 11th took that life objective that I already had, and it intensified it for me. The fire just keeps getting hotter as I get older.
And again, what you see is he was the pilot who was supposed to fly Flight 11. And he got bumped at the last minute and lived to tell about it.
Providential overruling.
And so what it did for him is it took what was already important to him and it intensified it. It inspired him to the fact that he is living on borrowed time. And folks, that's what we need to be. We need to be inspired by whatever it is that's happening so that it presses us forward. And what a poignant example of taking a very difficult, tragic circumstance and just using it to catapult yourself forward.
He could have gone the other way.
Yeah, he could have. He could have just gone into this depression and been guilty and
exactly,
all of those things. And, you know, part of it, he does discuss, you know, having to deal with that stuff because, you know, it could have easily been his life. So after urgently choosing to apply spiritual priorities, our theme context of our theme scripture in Ephesians 15 comes back again. Now we're in Ephesians 15. Ephesians 5, verses 13 to 14.
But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you."
Christ will shine on you. That's inspiration. I mean, it's truly inspiring to think about that kind of thing happening. See, now, inspiration works best when we have someone whose struggle can be observed. You know, you're looking at Steve Scheibner, and mm-hmm. hopefully telling you that story is going to help to inspire you to realize that we are all on borrowed time.
Well, it does. I mean, his experience is inspiring me right now.
Well, and let's look at the Apostle Paul in terms of how he, through his experience, was there to serve as an inspiration for us so we can redeem the time.
Philippians 3:17 through 21. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us.
So he is basically saying, do what I do, because he knew that he was locked on and he knew that he was setting an incredibly high standard. And he had the courage and the faith to say, follow me even as I follow Christ. So he tells us, follow me. Now he goes to the downside in the next part of the scripture.
For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things.
So, and we're talking about being inspired, and that doesn't sound very inspiring, does it?
No.
But it's a necessary part of the inspiration, because he's saying there are some that he knew of who were taking the name of Christ and misapplying it. So he goes back to the upside, the glorious results of holding the true vision at the end of the scripture.
For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even subject all things to himself.
So what we have is we have a sense that there is great inspiration by making the comparison. We make the comparison, we look at things, and then we can catapult ourselves forward.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is your time running out. Now it's time to talk about perspiration. That's right, sweat equity. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is your time running out. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, we're looking at how do we spend our time and how can we better invest it rather than just spend it. In the first hour, we talked about vision and priorities and urgency. That's the what. And in the second hour here, we're looking at the how. And the subject last segment was inspiration. You have to be inspired. We have to continually seek inspiration because, look, we're faulty.
We are.
Face it. You know, we're wired faultily, and we'll default to the lowest common denominator instead of the highest one.
Which is not good.
No, you're right. So we have to be inspired. Well, the next level of this is what? This is, you know, as you're going through this is obviously one of your favorite words in the whole world.
Oh, yeah. Perspiration. I thought this was a typo, right?
Yeah. See, Jonathan is Mr. Clean, and so to get him to start talking about perspiration just gets him all very uncomfortable. It's very interesting.
Well, with this heat wave we've had over the last week, it's hard not to perspire.
Up close and personal experience?
Oh, yeah.
So, how hard do we work if we want to redeem the time? And that's where we come up with a theme for this segment of perspiration. Perspiration is the result of continuous exertion. Now, what are we exerting ourselves towards? And that's the key. We can perspire, we can sweat over the wrong things.
Yes, we can.
Or we can sweat because we're working at the right things. The question is, as you look at your life, which direction are you heading on that? And again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So another secret here, Jonathan, for redeeming the time is accept the fact that redeeming the time requires continual effort and exertion. It just requires effort and exertion. It's not enough to just say that you believe.
That's just acknowledgement.
Right. And that's a great start. But once you say it, to believe means you act it and you live it regularly, and your key focus is to never vary off of that particular path. So let's not confuse things. Let's hit one scripture, then we'll go to the phones. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 9.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you.
Well, that doesn't sound like perspiration, does it?
It doesn't.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Humble yourself, rest in God, casting your anxiety on him. That's all nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here. So there's rest in the Spirit. That's good. Now, let's finish that scripture in 1 Peter.
Be of a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
So resisting the devil, I mean, if you've got a roaring lion chasing after you, do you think you're perspiring just a bit?
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got an objective, and that is to stay alive.
It reminds me of labor to enter into rest.
Right, and that's exactly what this scripture is saying. It takes effort. And you know, what we have to do is make sure we put ourselves into the rest of God, but labor to stay there. And, you know, fighting the devil, fighting the flesh, fighting the world, those are three very big fights.
They are.
And if we're going to redeem the time, we have to be focused on it. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you in terms of a lot of effort.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, to me, Sunday morning, it is a priority because you're talking about the God that I love and I want to serve. So it's time invested. If I may, go back to the your quotation, the greatest thief in the world is procrastination.
Yes.
And it is still alive.
Yes.
I like that.
Henry Wheeler Shaw.
Number two, you ever hear the expression, you want to get it done, give it to a busy man?
Yeah.
I like that. And number three, spending versus investing. The scripture in Matthew 6:19-20. Matthew 6:19, where it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Invest in heaven. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So Julius is reiterating some of the points that are just important in terms of if you want to redeem the time, if you want to make use of the time that you've been given. I mean, look, you can spend a lot of time on Facebook if you'd like. And folks, we want you to go to Facebook. We want you to go to Christian Questions Facebook page. And we want you to like us on Facebook. That's good. You know, and you can get something good from that.
And that's at ChristianQuestions.net.
That's right. You can find the link there right at ChristianQuestions.net. And, you know, we want, and you can spend a lot of time emailing. You don't have to spend a ton of, but if you want to email a question, email it to Rick@ChristianQuestions.net. So, you know, we've got all of these things that can take our time away. Look, if you're going to listen to the radio, listen to Christian Questions. Why? Because we're desperately attempting to focus on those things which we believe are most important. So there, we make choices as to how our time is spent or invested, and it's work and it's effort. But because we are willing to put in work and effort, there's a blessing for that. And that's, you know, that's part of the inspiration we talked about the last segment.
Yes.
So after we've been given the inspiration of glory, remember in a previous scripture before the First Peter scripture there, we were given that inspiration, the last segment, of glory. The theme text from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17 continues, and this is where actually our theme scripture comes into play.
Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
So be careful how you walk. You know, it's the, like the little kid song, be careful little feet where you go.
Very good, Rick.
Father up above is looking down in love. Be
there you go.
Careful little feet where you go. There, and so it's not enough to just have the direction, but what we have to do is apply ourselves to the direction.
And looking for the will of the Lord in your life.
And then doing it and working it to the point where it makes you sweat. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about physically sweating, but it's a good picture. But spiritually, do you sweat spiritually? In other words, are you working, exerting yourself spiritually enough in your life where it's making you sweat?
Rick, there's that saying, you're either growing or you're dying.
Yeah, that's a great, and you know, the growth doesn't come from just sitting back and sort of watching.
No, it doesn't.
Growth comes from applying oneself. You know, I mentioned that we go to the gym, and sometimes I go along, my wife goes with me to the gym, and she's our call screener, Trish, in the other room. You want to talk to her. She's really quite pleasant to talk to. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means you're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Anyway, you know, we go to the gym together sometimes, and, you know, we go on the treadmill kind of thing, you know, next to each other, and sometimes we talk, and she was telling me how she was going, but she just never used to work up a sweat. And then she started taking these little 2.5-pound weights in her hands while she's on the machine, and, you know, going up and down and sideways, and now the sweat pours out. And the point is, there's so much of a difference in the result. You can be doing the work, or you can be really doing the work.
Oh, I like that picture.
And spiritually, we need to be willing to sweat. Why would we be willing to sweat? Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11.
But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ.
So that's the ability to look back over where your life has been without regret.
Yes.
And saying, okay, it's done. Now I can move forward, and now, so you've got something of much greater value than you used to have. That gives you a willingness to put sweat equity into it. Now let's finish the scripture.
And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
So there's things in there, Jonathan, that give you cause to want to spiritually sweat, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's not things that you just sit back and observe and say, oh, that feels nice.
You need to take action.
You have to work at it. And that's one of the important things that we need to get ourselves clear on, and then we need to focus ourselves on. So it's just important. Sweat equity into our spirituality. Spirituality is going to be the most important thing. Jonathan, let's go to the phones before the next soundbite.
All right. We have Beth from Tennessee. Good morning, Beth, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you there, sister?
Good. Great topic. I just kind of wanted to say, I wanted to share something with the listeners that I learned this week in Bible study in Romans. You know, Paul's saying, be conquerors in everything. That's in the little things, in the day-to-day trials, in the larger picture of life. If we are conquerors, then there's nothing we can't do in Jesus Christ who helps us. And also in Revelation, you know, that's such a great book. It's part of Revelation. He's talking to the churches, and he's saying, be conquerors. And I just want to make one point. I don't know the scripture, but it actually says, if you are a conqueror, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of God and my own new name, and I will give you a place on my throne. So what a wonderful, inspirational way to think about it. If you can just conquer every day by day, and live in the Lord, I think that anything is possible. So that was the point I wanted to make.
That's a pretty big point there, Beth.
Yeah.
Beth, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Love you guys. Have a great day.
You too. Jonathan, and you know, as she's talking about that scripture has every single element we've been talking about in it. That's why I said it's a big point, because there was the vision, you know, in the God's throne, the vision. There was the priorities of be conquerors, you know, go do what you have to do. There was the urgency. It's got to be done now. There was the inspiration about this unbelievable reward that nobody ever deserves. There was the perspiration about doing the work. And then the next segment, we're going to be talking about the consistency required. So it just puts it all in perspective. And folks, that's what redeeming the time is. It's making sure that our life is truly, truly, truly focused on the right things, and everything else falls into place. Let's go, folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And we want to continue the conversation online. We want to hear your feedback on today's topic by posting on our Facebook page, where you can also see exclusive videos, check out our blog, and our website for audio, video, CQ Rewind, and other free resources no one else has on the planet, while studying the Bible and talking about topics that Christians want to talk about today at ChristianQuestions.net.
And this is one of those topics, Jonathan, that is just so valuable. And we want to encourage you to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition. Go to ChristianQuestions.net. It is a free service. We keep it free because we believe it's important to give to you the tools for faithfulness. And to us, that is one of those tools that you can use to help you move forward. So we're talking about perspiration. We're talking about, Jonathan, he grimaces every time I say that. I want to go back to Steve Scheibner, the airplane pilot for American Airlines, who was supposed to fly Flight 11 on September 11th, 2001, and he was bumped off at the last minute, and as a result, his life was spared. And this is about what drives him now.
But someday, I want to stand in the Lord's presence, and I want him to say, well done. I would hate to get in God's presence and have him say, oh, yeah, Scheibner, I see your name's down here. Well, you know, have a seat. I need to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what's on my plate, and that's what's driving me these days.
You know, I don't know if I can say anything to add to that. It is such a hard thing to grasp the depth of the lesson that this man learned by having his life spared. And he was already a dedicated Christian. But what it did is it took that dedicated Christianity in his life and it multiplied it over and over again because he understands the value that he's been given, the free pass essentially. And look, as Christians, that's what we're all given. And he's willing to work. He's willing to put spiritual sweat equity into the development of his spiritual life.
How does his example inspire you?
That, folks, if you have a thought, 866-985-4255. How does that example inspire you? We're talking about the perspiration required, the sweat equity required to make sure our time is being invested correctly.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is your time running out. The Christian walk has its ups and downs. Can we be consistent? How hard is that? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is your time running out. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And we are examining as carefully as we can the investment of our time, redeeming the time, purchasing it back, making sure our time is being spent and invested wisely in the service of God. In the last segment, Jonathan, we were talking about your favorite word, perspiration.
Sweat.
Sweat. And perspiration is the result of continuous exertion, and the secret for redeeming the time in that picture is accept the fact that redeeming the time requires continual effort and exertion on a spiritual level. It's going to cost us to sweat spiritually in terms of putting out effort, and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Now, it's one thing to have inspiration, like we were talking about mm-hmm. right, in the first segment of this
yes.
hour. Okay, it's great to have inspiration, and it's great to say, okay, I'm going to put out effort, you know, and I'm going to gear up, and I've got this opportunity coming, and I'm going to go all out, and I'm going to spiritually sweat, and that's going to be great. And then when it's done, I'm going to be able to sit back and just relax and kick back. And is that the way it works?
I don't think so.
No, this final segment of this program is on consistency. And consistency is the continual application of all those things necessary toward faithfulness.
We know human nature, and we know how many times we've tried to make resolutions at the new year and how quickly they will fizzle out.
Right.
But this is a lifelong journey to God.
Right. So it's not enough to just sporadically put the effort in.
No.
And I'll tell you what, Jonathan, on a personal level, before we get into the scriptures on this, one of the things that has changed my life with the consistency,
mm-hmm.
and it's very easy to see it once I say it, is doing Christian Questions. We've been doing this for 14 years.
Yes, we have.
And what changed in my life was the fact that you have to prepare every single week, and you're not going to show up not being prepared.
Right.
So that changed my life because it helped me to understand consistency because I had a deadline. Now, I admit, if I didn't have the deadline put in place for me, I would not have been so consistent. I wouldn't. I don't have it in me personally, but when put in a circumstance where the Lord God says, here's an opportunity, go work it. See, now I can identify with that and learn how to be much more consistent. So for me, this has been, and folks, I got to thank you for that, because if it weren't for you people out there being part of this, we wouldn't be sitting here, because otherwise we'd be talking to each other and we'd be tired of each other by now. So folks, any thoughts on applying all of these principles to your Christian life? How do you redeem the time? 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
So let's look at consistency. And what's the secret for redeeming the time in terms of consistency?
It is never give up. Never give up. Never, 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 never give up.
Winston Churchill said that.
You got
and it. There is something special about that kind of attitude as we approach our lives. Revelation 2:10 is a great scripture about that.
Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Be faithful while you're inspired to do so? No.
No.
Be faithful. Wait, be faithful while you're young.
No.
Be faithful when you feel like it.
No.
Be faithful on Sunday.
No.
It's be faithful unto death.
Unto death.
It is that consistent effort that brings that crown of life. Make no mistake. If we treat it haphazardly, the reward will be haphazard as well. And that's not what God promised, is it?
No.
All right. So let's take a look at that. So after we're given the admonition to work hard, to put spiritual sweat equity in, our theme context, we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 5, now is going to remind us to stay the course, to compare the ways of man and the ways of God, and then to choose wisely. Ephesians chapter 5, now verses 18 to 21.
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ.
So there's a lot there. It says, again, avoid the things of the world and rather be filled with the Spirit. And then it says something interesting. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with the Lord to the Lord in your heart.
In your heart, yeah.
So there's this supposed to be this wellspring of joy that comes out of you.
Think of King David and how he did it.
That's a good example, because here and you know, he had a life of a lot of ups and downs.
Yes.
And yet he still had that joy that came out of him through the Psalms that we can actually read and understand. So when we look at this, it is a great example of maintaining our consistency through inspiration, through urgency, making sure our priorities are right, having the vision in place, all of those things, but it's always being there.
And it could be infectious to others, and then they can bounce it right back to you.
Yeah.
That is neat.
And that's a really important part of what this verse is saying, is you inspire the person next to you, and then they can inspire you back. And
right.
Look, that's how we ended up being here behind the microphones.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it was this inspiration that came. It didn't come to me first, I'll tell you that. But it came, and by feeding off of one another, you end up with an opportunity, and then you have to continue to feed off of one another. And the minute you think you're bigger than the rest is the minute you start to fall.
That's right.
So one last time to Steve Scheibner from his book In My Seat. This is the final picture of what he's saying and how he's putting together his experience of being the airplane pilot who was supposed to fly Flight 11, American Airlines Flight 11 on September 11th, but he got bumped at the last minute. So he did not die. He was set up to die, but he did not. Here is his final statement, if you will, on what he brings from that.
What I know is that somebody died in my place not once, but twice. That's where God comes into the whole thing for me. See, Tom sat in a seat that I was qualified to sit in, and by all rights, that was my seat that day. I should have been in that seat. But Tom didn't die for my sins. You see, God sent his own son to die for my sins. Jesus Christ was the other one who died in my place, and he hung, and he bled, and he suffered on a cross to pay a price for me that I wasn't qualified to pay. I couldn't have hung on the cross. I didn't have the same qualifications. So one guy sat in a seat that I should have sat in, The other hung and bled on a cross.
It really does sum up his experience. And
it really
he said that, you know, the thing that was so important to him was the idea that he had his place taken twice in his life. And that's unusual. Most of us don't have that experience.
You're right.
Somebody sat in a seat that he could have sat in, should have sat in, by rights asked to sit in, and somebody died for him. And then he just said, okay, and that was an incredible substitution for which he is eternally grateful and obviously has changed his life as a result. But then he said, but the biggest picture of this is that Jesus sat in a seat that I wasn't qualified for. He bled and died for my sins. I could not do that. I was not capable, and he did it for me anyway. And that is what truly drives him to want to be faithful unto death and drives him to that consistency of applying all of these things that we've been talking about. So it's taking the inspiration of that experience and plowing forward with it.
Well, Rick, how do we check ourselves to be sure that we're consistently following the right path, the right thoughts, the right attitudes, the right actions? How do we do it?
Well, again, I think if you look at the scriptures, it's much easier to answer than I could ever answer. So let's do that. Not that we're taking the easy way out. We're taking the wise way out. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So here in Philippians, you're really getting a sense of, okay, here's how to check your thinking and your attitude and your actions. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's a
great place to start.
Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Now, what if you don't have a gentle spirit?
You've got to change it.
That's right. Develop one. You know, God loves us the way we are, but he doesn't want us to stay the way we are. Okay?
I like that.
He loves us the way we are so he can change us.
Yes.
That's why he loves us the way we are, because there's potential to grow into something bigger and better. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing. Not have anxiety in our lives. How many people suffer from anxiety in our world?
Millions.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, put it all to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses everything, will keep your heart. That's the beginning of the scripture. So how do we check ourselves? We go through those things. And then what we do is, okay, if we're getting good there, now we go to verse 8, Philippians 4, verse 8. Right, one verse.
Finally,
big
brethren,
verse.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
So let's start with the last four words of the verse and sort of work backwards. Dwell on these things. So consistency. See, we are consistent in when you're consistent, you're always going back to and focusing on something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're a sports fanatic, you're consistent on following your team.
Yes.
You know, if you're a foodaholic, I don't know if that's a word, but you're always focusing on what you're going to eat next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you are a Facebook junkie, you're always going back to Facebook. Now, there's a consistency there. Well, the scripture is telling us dwell on these things. What things? True, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, what's pure, what's lovely, what's of good repute. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise. See, now that takes a lot of things out of the qualification.
That's right.
If it's have excellence, it's worthy of praise. Yes, think on these things, and it's in the context of putting God first. So, Jonathan, I think that's how we check ourselves, so we make sure that we're consistent. So let's try to wrap this up. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left. So as we look back over this all-important discussion on redeeming the time, what do we know? There's 6 things that we know about now. What are they?
Vision.
Okay.
The all-encompassing picture that captures the imagination.
We have to start with a big, clear vision, and it's got to be one that floats your boat. It's got to be verbalized in your own head in such a way to motivate you to move forward. If you're borrowing my vision, it's just not going to work.
Right. Take the time and write one down.
Absolutely.
If you don't have one.
Right. And think it through. Invest effort into that, because it's one of those things that can really carry you. So that's the first thing.
Priorities, the necessary ordering of the details of our life.
So if you got the big vision, you have to put the priorities in place so you can do all of the other parts of life in the context of that bigger picture.
Urgency, the application of focused energy for a very specific purpose.
It's not enough to just work. We have to be urgent in the things that we do. So this is these are the what, the vision, the priorities, and the urgency of redeeming the time. The next three.
Inspiration, that which feeds and lifts the heart to be able to overcome.
We all need to be inspired. The story of Steve Scheibner is inspirational. You look at the apostles' work, it's inspirational. Just find things that make you go.
Perspiration, the result of contagious exertion.
Continuous exertion.
Thank you.
We have to spiritually put in sweat equity in order to really, truly follow through.
And finally, consistency, the continual application of all these things necessary towards faithfulness.
So when we are put all of those other things in place, if we're not consistent, we're still not there. Redeeming the time means all six of those things. Those are available to you at ChristianQuestions.net. Sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, and you can take a look at them and make them part of your daily life. This is one of the most important lessons, Jonathan, I think we've ever discussed.
I agree.
Because it's about making sure that our days, our hours, and our moments are spent in the glory, to the glory of God. And, you know, that's what it really boils down to. We're going to close with a part of a verse from Mark chapter 12, where Jesus talks about, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the priority. That's the vision. That is what our lives are supposed to be out. If you're going to follow Christ, follow after his teachings, his words, and his example in terms of putting God first and foremost. There's great blessing in that. There's great effort in that. There's sweat equity involved. And there's great blessing that can go to others as a result of that. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning. Don't forget to check in with us at Facebook. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you there. The conversation continues there. For Jonathan and Rick, until next week, is your time running out, and what are you doing about it? We'll be back next week. Think about it.